Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate. Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopelessness, the meager food, the soul forgot. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
Alright, believe it or not, take freaking three.
I've seen truth and grief, red roses too. I've seen them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Dogs say goodnight, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by.
Culture Vulture, the number to call to interrupt this train of thought that goes around and around the Christmas tree. 646-478-4847. 646-478-4847. Hello again, Sapiens. We meet again. You know, I had the honor and the privilege to speak to what the hell's his name? Forget his name. I'll screw it up. I think his name is Jonathan Sweet, right? Yeah, John Sweet from Blog Talk. And it was one of those Leonard Nimoy moments. They can't explain what happened to us last night. Never in the history of the 9,000 million shows of Blog Talk Radio has a host ever been commandeered by, you know, the maelstrom of digital conversation all over the globe. I was picking up the outer rings of Jupiter, I think. I don't know. It's unbelievable. They can't explain it. But they can explain what happened overnight. That was a glitch. So we had the Grinch and the glitch. I don't know. Either way, I figured I'd put up a decent, hour and a half for you guys this week to ponder as you travel from here to there, getting where you got to go for the holidays, and wanted to make sure everybody got the message, since we are only 2 days removed from Somageddon. I'm still feeling the effects. But as I speak to you tonight, I have completed the annual spend money you don't have ritual called Christmas shopping, ending up at the Stop and Shop, which is a perfect place to kind of finish things up. looking around, and you're like, why did I do this? But, you know, it's already done. So, repeating myself, because the show, the whole theme of this show was about how these cycles, you know, kind of all lead back to square one as we enter the winter, say goodbye to the fall, and kind of like lazy Susan our way around these four domains that we live in. And if you're not familiar with the four domains at this point, I've been talking about the four domains. How long have we been talking about this? Got to be going on about 8-9 years now, relentlessly. And it hasn't even dented a forehead out there yet. No one can repeat them back to me without going, what are they again? Endo, into? It's amazing. They know like, you know, they're combinations to things, and they can fix their own DVD players, but they can't remember one thing about their soma, not one thing. So I'm kind of giving up the mantle of being the one that relays that information to the universe at this point, and I'm just going to mock it. Because when I look around and I see things happening, like what happened to Rex Ryan this week, like what happened to Brett Favre on Monday night, you know, like what's still going on, you know, all over the culture this week. When you have scandal, when you have rumor, when you have innuendo, you have a domain playing the role of the Joker. And Rex really stepped in it this week. Let's see. Let's get an update on that, because I'm gonna play the clips that we played in the last two versions of the show, just to see if there's anything new. Because I know today the big news is that Sanchez has got a bum shoulder and he might not play, which, you know, that gets the gamblers and the fantasy geeks and the actual fans, you know, to pay attention again. So, let's see. But there's just a lot of kind of loose ends as we make our first couple of steps onto the ice of winter. By the way, 2-2, second period, Rangers and Lightning. We'll take a look at that. Rangers have been on the doorstep. They're poking away. We got a goal here. I'll let you know. The Rangers are basically trying to play pinochle here. It's like they're on their freaking hands and knees trying to poke at the puck. So, you know, last night we got a Nick win out of the first show. So we'll see what happens. And I want to just a shout-out to you 11 listeners that joined me between 3:30 and 5, wherever you are. If you're out there again tonight, I will actually, literally right now, as I speak to you, I will now open the chat room and see if anybody's there. Is anybody there? I don't think so. Well, let's see if the switchboard's working tonight. All right? Because what I need now is a little more cowbells.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
That's right. Well, we know who has a fever, and it's Rex Ryan, because this poor bastard, he can't avoid it. It's almost like it's a cowlick in his behavior, okay? It's like he's an eco, right? So he's sloppy. It's classic eco behavior. All right, chat room's open. Anybody there have a question, just let me know. I'll keep it on the corner of the screen, so if anything goes on, I'll know. If anybody's there, I'll be shocked. Shocked. Anyway, back to dead spin here. Let's see. If there's anything new in that story. Basically, the reaction from the public, and I'll check the Twitter feed again, like I did last night. We'll check that slash Rex Ryan, see what, because the conversation changed from, you know, basically people rolling on the ground laughing to people basically taking sides on it and looking at, like I said, a lot of this stuff that you deal with on a cultural level when you're trying to generate a little clarity is that every event has a whole bunch of interpretations, a whole bunch of belief systems under it, a whole bunch of angles you could take on it. So the Rex Ryan thing hits, pa-plunk, you know, like a turd in the fishbowl, and it's like, oh, where are the ripples going? Well, some of them went to fidelity as opposed to infidelity because, you know, this time last year it was Tiger Woods, right? A year later it's Rex Ryan and the feet. So people take this as progress. So it's like, you know, so the conversation was like, well, he's married. He's still with his wife. He says, we're feet. You know, on some porn site, but, you know, at least it's his wife. Like, and a year removed from Tiger, maybe that is progress. I don't know. Just the fact that it got the Giants off the back pages is all I care about. Thank you, Rex. What are you going to do next week? Oh, boy. Man, he's had a rough year. Mostly between Monday and Saturday. He's 10-4 on Sunday. You know? Well, the Rangers are peppering his goalie. They can't hit the net, though. They play such a weird game at home. I think it says, no, it's still 2-2. God, they're all falling down. I see bad ice at the Garden. Yes, in the Knick game there last night. It's been freezing here today, though. I don't know why the ice is so ruddy. But the 10th Ranger is so sliding around. All right, the Twitter feed is having its some problems here. I don't know what's going on. Oh, here we go. All right, let's see what we got. A lot of things trending on Twitter tonight. Got a ball game going to start in about 15 minutes, maybe half an hour or so over in between Pittsburgh and Carolina. So anybody betting on that, anybody got an over-under for me, just shoot it over here. I'd be glad to share it and make a counter bet. You know, because, you know, between that and the lottery, just talking to some client of mine from Israel about the lottery, and I guess it's in Spain, there's a, you know, a couple hundred million or something. The one in Jersey, I'm pretty sure, is like close to 180 million this weekend. You know, it's weird. Everybody is so focused on, you know, the economy, and meanwhile, we're still a bunch of gambling, rambling fools. We would bet our mother if we can double down on it. Bodog.com for president. All right, let's see. Rex Ryan. And the funny part was I was over at Borders just now, and I'm overlooking at, like, you know, all the fitness CDs and stuff, you know, thinking of things and DVDs. And it's a football instructional DVD, Get Coached by Rex Ryan. And I just couldn't stop laughing. It just hit me funny. You know, and, again, what I'm trying to get across with all these events, we're going to review a little 2010 first half in a minute. Rex is sort of my lead dog here. Because and I talk about evolutionary psychology once in a while, Gibsonian psychology, which basically is a parallel to what I talk about in somatics, right? Because what they say is most of psychology is worried about what's inside somebody's head. And they pick their brain, and they try to get them to, what's inside your head? And they pry it apart. The Gibson people, because they're talking about an evolutionary perspective and a much more environmentally oriented way of psychology, they wonder what your head is inside of. So we live in these worldviews, we live in these perspectives that attracts the thoughts that end up inside our head, the things that we internalize. And our job here, as we look at, and I'll review Somageddon here to give you an idea, from Monday night to basically early Wednesday morning, we were in a huge cosmic conversation. If we were able to ride that wave, we got the message. Rex apparently had his snooze alarm on. He missed it. And basically what happened, you had five basic things happening at once. We're still in one of them. That's the Mercury retrograde. That goes all the way to week for Friday. That forces you, no matter what you do, to review events that happened in late September, sort of around Jewish holidays, late September, early part of the fall. So the time of the year for great reflection. Winter is all about reflection, okay? So that one is the first thing that's always there. Usually we have a retrograde late December, early January that forces us to review things from the last 90-day cycle because all these things are kind of interwoven, right? That's the first one. But then it didn't stop there. Oh, no. Then we had the first lunar eclipse on a winter solstice, depending on what you read, anywhere from 372 to 456 years ago. So imagine that energy cycling around, trying to land, and all of a sudden, boom, it's here on Tuesday. So you have a lunar eclipse, you have a winter solstice, you have a Mercury retrograde, and then you have a little meteor shower early in the morning, which puts a bunch of sulfur in the air, which does a whole bunch of weird things to the atmosphere, and then the coup de grace, all this stuff happening, right, those four things. Bing, bong, boom, bong, boom. And, oh, boy, it's like I'm still thinking about it in terms of, like, the timing of it all, right? So I'll give you the lead-up again. The meteor shower. We have Mercury retrograde. Not too bad, right? Winter solstice, right? Lunar eclipse. And then late that night, a full moon! Joker, 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 joker. You couldn't have created, if you sat there and manipulated the cosmos like you do those little mobiles you put over the babies, right? And said, we're going to put this one here and that one there. You couldn't have aligned a more powerful cosmic enema than we had Tuesday night. That's why I called it Somageddon. Because as you go into it, you're in an ontolunar phase. So everything's building to a crescendo for the lunar phase for the last lunar cycle of the fall, right? Which happens to be pessimism, which happens to be loss in the future tense. All right? You think, like, maybe Tom Coughlin might have tapped into that about Sunday night, sitting in a dark room, right? Then you have that one. That one's more of a local kind of energy, right? So then inside of that cycle, you have a three-month cycle that goes back to September, which is the seasonal cycle, which transfers from an eco-emotional empathic one to the exo energy of the winter, which is much more stoic and static and analytical and impersonal. So you go from dynamic and shifty and all kinds of, like, you know, erratic patterns to this brick wall. So you have that transfer. Still, that happens every year. It doesn't always happen on the day of the solstice, but those things are going on. Then you add in a lunar eclipse, which puts us into perilous darkness, the darkest and shortest day in the history of the United States. WikiLeaks is out there. You got all kinds of crap happening in the world. We're sitting there basically in the dark with someone beating us with a bunch of bars of soap, like in the Full Metal Jacket. Meteor shower, putting toxins in the air, and then a Mercury retrograde to get us to further go backwards. And that's what I was trying to get at. With everything comes down to memory. The universe is constantly trying to refine its memory. We're just a bunch of tape heads that always need to be cleaned. We get a little dusty. It's like that, you know, old pool table you have in the basement. Those cues, don't worry, you got to keep queuing them up. Because we get caught in the local crap. We get caught in the gossip. We get caught in the data sphere, which is like a fog over the city that doesn't allow us to tune into these cosmic rhythms that are completely benign. They're trying to help us. You know, I always say travel light through the darkness. I always say living in the rhythm. I always say, you know, we got to get you back to biological roots and like a technological fruit. But it's attractive, right? It's the old apple. Can't have enough of it. Speed kills. Stupidity lives forever. So let's see what's going on with old Rex here as I feed you some more. Let's see. Well, now they got foot fetish on this slash here. Oh, my God. After the foot fetish video, how does the NFL not tie Rex Ryan to the tripping incident? Fourth and a foot, Ryan is going for it. So what if Rex Ryan likes his feet? It doesn't matter to his wife. Fourth and a foot, Rex Ryan is going for it. Oh, boy. You know that's going to happen on Sunday. All right. I agree with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Oh, I didn't know she weighed in on this. A married couple is entitled to get freaky with each other. They're married. Thank you, Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Now I'm going to stab myself. If you care enough about a morbidly obese man's foot fetish to talk about it on the news, you better be masturbating about it, too. Oh, man. Okay, Rex Ryan loves feet. Big deal. If not, he was caught on the film humping a prostitute's feet. Stop acting like he broke the law. See, like I said, the belief system stuff is coming around on this. Breaking news, ESPN reports Brett Favre texted Rex Ryan a picture of his naked feet. The NFL has yet to comment. I mean, do you see how many of these memes, how many of these ideas that people can latch onto and what level of irony is in them? That's what I'm talking about, guys. It isn't just the event. It's the interpretation and how that thing gets remembered, how that thing gets internalized, how that thing gets shared. And if you're clear, it bounces off you. You have the windshield wiper fluid up. But if you're cloudy inside, you don't know how you're wired, you don't know how you behave, you don't know what your rhythm is, stuff sticks. And if you have deep trance identification with the Jets, I'm sorry, you should have seen some of the Jet callers calling locally here at FAN, screaming and yelling that we shouldn't be talking about this, because they felt it. See, he's an eco, so that emotion acts like a mood ring. So empathy goes in both directions. Memory goes in both directions. It goes because the future and the past are phony. Phony. One's an echo, one's a shadow, doesn't matter. They're just distortions of the moment. And you live in the moment. Now. 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 And that's what I was trying to get at last night and over the night. It's the third time I'm doing the show. You know, which is kind of funny because everything's going to happen again. What are you going to do in the meantime so that the next time something comes along to take you out of your pattern, take you out of your trance, you can get back on track? How do you get reoriented? You got to have a way to adapt. Turn in the direction of the skid. You know, everyone was expecting Rex to come out yesterday in barefoot and wearing, you know, doing his clown act. He came out as a very embarrassed married man who didn't want anything to do with this. Nothing to do with it at all. Because he never expected it to happen. And he'd be buzzkilled the win they got in Pittsburgh. The Jets had come out of the muck after 2 weeks of being basically having face down in the toilet. The Giants were now in the hot seat locally. They were grilling Tom Goffin. They were shining up, what's his name's chin over there. you know, to take over for him, the old Pittsburgh coach. That's his name, Cowher. And basically, Cowher's going, yeah, I want the Giant job. He's not shy. And Coughlin's staring at the walls in a dark room. Day and a half later, we got Rex Ryan's feet. We're so entertained by everybody else's, you know, banana peel slips. But that's become the conversation. We've TMZ'd everything. We've TMZ'd politics, music, entertainment, sports, the Spider-Man thing down in the city. You know, I don't know, half a dozen of these actors have fallen off these wires. People go to the show, not because of the show. They want to see who's going to fall. Same reason why you watch a NASCAR race, right? Same reason why you watch a boxing match. Hey, maybe someone will be killed in the ring tonight. Let's go watch it. Or mixed martial arts, same thing. Sex and violence will always sell because sex and violence pertains to survival. So, biologically, we can't avoid it. But the perspective can shift if you understand how to internalize and externalize the experiences and how to use this stuff as biofeedback. Don't use it as a drug. Don't use it as a soft addiction. Don't use it as eye candy because it'll trick you. And then it gets into your synapses. Then you're craving it every day. Then you can't live without playing the stupid farm game on Facebook or the Angry Bird thing or whatever the hell is out there that's viral. Because when it's viral, it's gone into a digital world. It's gone into a world that you have no say. And believe me, these damn machines, they're listening. They want to evolve too. So they know how to trigger you. They know how to tell you little suggestions. You go to YouTube, pick a song, they make 10 other suggestions for you. Then they remember for next time. Because it's all about tailoring and sort of pseudo-humanizing all the technology so you think it's friendly. It's leading you right in. And if you're not awake and at the wheel, you're going to be basically just roadkill. You're going to get used and abused by this stuff. And for the most part, all of us are to some degree, right? 10% of the population on antidepressants, right? We're already pickled. Most of us are addicted to something, salt addictions or not, sugar, whatever. There's a lot of it. I'm drinking a Coke right now. Stay awake to talk to you guys. This is the third time I'm doing this damn show. Please let it stick. No questions yet. All right. Let's put Rex down for a minute. We did his tweets. And let's take a quick look back at the early part of 2010 from the standpoint of the domains. Where is the chicken? Let's see if I got a little domain song here. Oh, actually, first, you know, a moment of silence. I think Andy Pettit's going to retire. I'm going to say it here now. Breaking news. I'm going to kind of divine this, that this fellow is finally going to quit and screw the Yankees the way they screwed him. Now they really need him. There's conflicting reports out there, but I'm thinking he's going to go. But you all know that the boss is dead, but he's not forgotten because in the digital world, he lives forever.
Anyway, as I was lying in the puddle, I think I may have found a way for us to get Bonds and Griffey, and we wouldn't have to give up that much.
Well, don't tell it to me, George. Tell it to the new assistant of the general manager.
I didn't get the job.
Well, once you were dead, we couldn't just sit on our hands. We got to make a move. But you still have your old job. Of course, we'll have to dock you for the time you missed. We're running the ball club here. If I give special treatment to you, everyone will want it. Next thing you know, it's chaos. And I can tell you this. Chaos does not work for the New York Yankees. Not as long as I'm running the show.
There you go. Chaos. Utter chaos. Right? And that's really what we're afraid of. That's why there's such an overreach for security all the time. You can't have the both ends of that thing and make it work. You can't secure things and make them chaotic at the same time. Spontaneity always wins. Aperion always wins. Untamable chaos always wins. All the other stuff is just another phony little deal. Just another Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, whatever you want to talk about. And we're learning it. We're learning all these little fake little facades are falling down, like we're living in the back end of Blazing Saddles. You know, we're all living in Rock Ridge. All right. So looking back at the first half of this year, I want to take four key events that happened, and we talked about a couple of them on the show. Four key events, first half of the year, and we're going to code them and profile them using the domains. The first one one that you probably won't think much of, but I'll explain how it fits into the grand scheme of things in a minute. We had the Winter Olympics. Do you even remember that was this year? Right? Remember the guy in the luge that died the first day during the opening ceremonies, some tiny little town in Russia? And it was like a big story. And then, that went the way of the wind. And then the two skiers were fighting it out, the Lindsay, whatever her name is, Vaughn, and the other one. And the one that was supposed to win didn't win. The one that was supposed to win won. And there was, these two blonde skiers fighting, and they had Sean White, the snowboard dude. The Russians were mad because they didn't get the right calls in the figure skating. The Canadians were freaking having the ulcers over the hockey. And then all of a sudden, that whole thing blows by because I guess, Olympics over. But for those 2 weeks, the images that the Olympics bring up, the fact that it is, it has a continuity to it, it has a legacy to it, and the fact that everyone that wins in the Olympics is immortalized. Corporately rewarded and immortalized. So it's a big athletic lottery. If you win it, you're made for life. You're made for life. Doesn't matter what you do. What domain do you think that one fits in? What narrative do you think that fits in with? All right? Because of the fact that it has that root to it. It has that cosmic tail to it. And it also is trying to preach what? It's trying to preach about immortality. You're alive forever. It's like an instant Hall of Fame. An athlete could compete, train for 4 years, win the Olympics, and never do anything else again, and he's an Olympic champion when he's 97 years old. Right? You're instantly in the club. The Olympics represents the exosomatic ideas that we're all riffing on because of the fact that it's steady state. It has that every 4 years we're going to do this, and every 4 years we're going to do that. It uses symbols. It uses icons. It uses countries that have archetypal energies to them. Every single one of those things is political and economic and all the ideas that represent whatever's gathering of it. It's as corrupt as a $3 bill, and we don't care. Because we still have this sort of ideal that the Olympics is somehow above the fray as the freaking lightning score. Ugh. Jackals. I tell you, watching the Rangers play at the Garden this year is really like basically pulling your eyelashes out. They stink on ice at the Garden. Their home record's got to be 500, I think. Just gave up another goal. Another tip-in goal. Anyway, so you look at the Olympics from that perspective. Now you understand what they're trying to do. What's the exo-narrative trying to do to you? It's trying to cause you to go into a structural response, right? Build around this. So you come away from those Olympics, the Canadian Olympics, and you look at the economic picture, you look at the political conversation, you look at the way that the athletes were marketed and all the things that kind of come out in the wash. And we had a fast cycle with this because a couple months later we did the same thing with the World Cup. I'll get into that next week when we look at the second half of 2010. Because that's not an exo. That's not an exo message that the World Cup's given us. A little different one. But think about these Olympics and think about how it gave us a commercial from Tiger Woods. It gave us a commercial from war and economy and all that stuff for 2 weeks. Big corporate fat commercial, right? Banana, banana. Because think of the images. They're constant. They're everlasting. You could draw those circles anywhere. Everyone's going to know what they mean, right? So that's the exosomatic message. Only 9% of the brains out there pick that up. Everyone else does something else with that event. They get personal with it, or they get emotional with it, or they get into ideology with it. Second one that came almost like to the point where they were kind of bumping into each other, right after the Olympics. I'm down in Tampa, again, chaos conference, and here comes the healthcare bill. Now, you want to talk about a phony, ham-fisted, photo opportunity, completely political piece of crap. It was whatever they passed back in late February in that healthcare bill. Whatever gets implemented of it, because look what happened 6-7 months later, it lost all their mojo. But they had to get something on the scoreboard. The entire summer of 2009 was spent getting that bill on the scoreboard so that it looks like something was accomplished. When really, all that was accomplished was the drug companies and the insurance companies got in partnership with the government and Wall Street, and they all got paid. And something on the order of 32 million people or whatever got the illusion that they're getting care, which, as we all know, is the third leading cause of death. So they got access to it. Big freaking deal. Who's delivering the care? Oh, we don't know. Oh, really? Okay, so you pass this law that says everyone's going to get automatic care and everyone's mandated to get all this stuff. And meanwhile, there's no providers for it. So we're going to spend the next 2 years figuring that one out. But at the time, it was more about establishing something on the scoreboard, claiming a prize, planting a flag, and saying you did something. We actually did nothing. It's Paper Tiger, 20,000 pages, I think, Paper Tiger, with a lot of other stuff in there, by the way, that got pushed through. That was the ontosomatic message of the first half of the year. Onto myself, my belief system, my way of doing things. My ideology is better than your ideology, right? It's a pissing contest. So we went from exo to onto. Then the best part of the last two here was they happened at the same time. They peaked on the same night when you had the entire Washington establishment at the correspondence dinner down there in D.C. On one end of the spectrum, you got the BP spill going viral. Oh, my God, people actually died out there? You mean it's still leaking? This is happening while all the reporters are kissing Obama's butt. At the same time, right down the hill here at Times Square, we got the bomber. So you imagine that the dilemma for the mainstream media, how do they cover this stuff? They can't. They're too bogged down in their archaic structure. But social media can cover it. Twitter can cover it. Facebook can cover it. You know, they covered it much quicker with much more accuracy and much more ease, and they rooted out some of this stuff. And that's what led to the domains of those two messages being disseminated down, because the BP spill, while it looks like another corporate act of malice, was actually a philosomatic message, because what changed the ethos down there wasn't politics. It wasn't money. It wasn't corporate greed. It was people. People made something happen down there. They got fed up with it. And they exposed a whole bunch of corruption that we never would have known about. We never would have known anything about it. The MMS, the whole thing. So our coherence from our relationships became stronger as a result of the BP spill. We had to. Ocean was dying. And every day watching that thing billow all that crap into the ocean, watching all those birds wash up, we did something. I don't know if we solved it, but we definitely got it plugged up. It took us about, what, 100 days, whatever it was. They're calling in James Cameron. They were calling in Aquaman when it came in next. All right? But we were looking for people, not for power, to fix that thing. That was the philosomatic message. Then, of course, traveling on the caboose was the eco. This disgruntled dude from Connecticut puts together a makeshift bomb in his car. It doesn't go off. Parks it in the middle of Times Square, because I guess it's a visible place to park it. And, you know, it's another one of these stories of a guy that couldn't handle stress and yada, 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 and it's Michael Douglas falling down. Eco. Couldn't handle his emotions and ends up a spectacle. Just like the Christmas bomber. I think he was kind of philo, though. I have to look him up. But the message of the Times Square bomber was emotions are at an all-time frazzle point. And what happened 6 months later? Right? It was just another excuse to change the Homeland Security stuff again. All the stuff that happened to TSA in the fall. Oh, my God, we're going to have another Christmas bomber. We better change the policy. All these things are tied together. All these domains are talking to each other. And our behavior is a result of how clear we read those messages. When they're mixed and when they're not as, you know, distinct as some of them should be, we miss. We make a mistake. So it's the constant relationship with self and surroundings, what I'm trying to get at. So you have those four events. Now, we also made a little news, because like I said, it's not what's inside your head, it's what your head is inside of. And, you know, back around that time, we had a little skirmish in my little world of sports media with Mia Harris. She was on her way out of FAN, and we tapped into her through the magic of Facebook and said, Hey, Mia, you want to come on the show? And I had Silva on from NYBD, from New York Baseball Digest, and we basically said, why not? Why not have her on and let her be, you know, kind of like put words to the music about a lot of stuff we were complaining about on the Fan, and like we what we think of the Fan, what the Fan could be, what the Fan is. And we wanted to get the scoop for someone who was, you know, basically on her way out of there, leaving the place, and see if we can add to it. And what ended up happening, of course, backfired, because Mia, again, mainstream media and social media are at 90-degree angles. They don't understand each other. You can edit. You can control a lot of stuff that happens on mainstream media. as Rex Ryan and others have found out, you know, Brett Favre have found out, you cannot control social media. It's unforgivable. It's like comparing an ocean to a lake. Let's see if I can find her on here. Things not happening. So she did a little clip, about 13 minutes, talking to me and Mike Silver. And what are you doing? I can find it faster if I do it this way. Let's see. See, if I was, like, prepared, I'd actually have this clip ready to go, but, you know, clip be damned. What is this thing doing to me? I'm on Fantasy Players now. Yeah, go back. See if I can find it through the history. Oh, there. Here we go. Mike's site. Sometimes Mike's site doesn't search too well. I don't know if it's the WordPress. But it is nasty. All right, tell you what. Do a new search. I want to play the clip for you because it was very telling what she said. And for a lot of people that are looking for work and struggling for work and trying to find a place in the way the new media is functioning, this is a kind of a little window of it, and it kind of gives you all that eco venom that she has, all that feeling of being, you know, in a very stoic and very kind of stagnant environment. On a structural level for the XO, and also, it also gives you an insight into how the corporate world deals with all the other subtle issues that are going on, because look at Mia. She's a woman in a man's world. She doesn't get an opportunity. She's there for several years and basically is told, you're never going to get an opportunity. We're going to be unfair to you, in her eyes, and we don't care. You have no recourse. You know? All right, this is absolutely not happening. Sometimes Mike's site just becomes like as spastic as you could be. So I'll find it this way. Wait, here we go. Here we go. Right? I always know when it's bad when it has like that light kind of slate blue gray kind of page. What are you doing? What are you doing? Didn't take this long last night when the show was actually recording. Oh, man. I don't know. I'll be there in a second. But I want to play this clip because I want to reveal a pattern that happened that you could see play out in almost every angle. And I'm going to find it if it kills me. So bear with me. Why is this? You know what, Mike? Your site sucks. I'm going to say it out loud. It's unnavigatable. Unnavigatable. It's got so many ads on it and so many things going on it that it takes forever to actually find the freaking the link you want. I'll tell you. All right, you know what? Give myself an out here. You guys celebrate for a minute, and I will. I'll find the clip. Basically what the somatic components were. But just check out Mia's tude here.
Hey, joining us here on the line for a quick pop, we have the controversial and absolutely just frothing with all sorts of news is Mia Harris. Late as of today, WFAN, welcome to Summertime, Mia.
Hi, how are you?
Well, just Mia. Later in the interview.
It's just, you know, to me, it's slow. This is why I like a Steve Summers, or I like someone who provides something a little different, because it's supposed to be entertaining. It's short. It's fun. It's light. I don't want to hear call after call after call on the Yankees bullpen. I mean, it's just, after a while, it's so taxing that you start to burn and bleed that you're like, I got to turn this off. Can I get some satellite music, please? So I do think that that style of talk radio is on the outs. You know, we want to laugh in the car. We want to be entertained. We want to have a good time. We don't want to hear Mike Francesa and whoever else it is yelling at callers. That's not fun to listen to. That's sad.
It seems a little like an audio voyeur in a way that you want to hear an argument that has no meaning. I mean, you could argue about stuff that matters, or you could argue about, you know, the Mets getting Cliff Lee for these players or those players. And I just I don't know if it's a creativity factor or, like you said, they're just fat cats and they're all waiting for the girl watch. And someone like you that comes in that happens to be kind of like me and Mike, like we don't go along with the program, unless you're Carton and you're going to be so offensive and such a dancing bear in a way and sort of imitate, you know, we riff on Carton all the time here, and not really be innovative, I don't think that they have a place for you, because that structure is so unforgiving. And unless you can have the stamina, like you said, to put up with the 17, 18, 19 calls in a row about the same thing, it really just is a hamster wheel. So maybe in a way they did you a favor.
You know what? I'm okay with it. I really am. I've been thinking about this for some time, and I'd rather not be belittled and demeaned and be made to feel like I'm not worth anything, because I have a ton of value. I have a ton of talent, and someone's going to, at some point or another, you know, take me under their wing, and we're going to work together, and I can maybe become a big star. And I want to do television anyway if I can, and I just want more than, you know, Mr. A and Mr. B said to me, you know, you're good at updates, but when you do updates, it's just updates. You're not part of the show. It doesn't matter what's on the air. Well, you know what? I'm not just updates. That's just not who I am, and if that's what they want, they don't want me, and I'm totally cool to go somewhere else.
And that's going like one right out of private parts.
I have to go, though, now. They're going to kill me, but I have to run, because
thanks for joining us.
Highlight.
Good luck. We'll get you on soon to go to expand on this. Thanks for joining us tonight, and good luck with you. We're with you all the way on this stuff. We'll keep talking.
Thank you. Enjoy the venting.
Oh, no problem. We'll continue.
Take care. All right, it's the great Mia Harris, you know, on the show back there in May when she quit. And she sounded like, you know, she was really going out there. She's got value. She's got this. She spent the entire summer haunting Silva to get that off his site, because it cost her other job at CBS. She went into hiding for 6 months. It was, you know, it really affected her because of that DTI, that deep trance identification. She identified herself as a host. The reality was is that in that industry, she was only going to be an update person. She's doing play-by-play for Iona Basketball now. Fact is that, like a lot of egos, Mia couldn't get that emotion back in check. And so the structure isn't going to support that. Like I said, that transfer between eco and exo is not an easy one. You need to bond. Otherwise, they coexist, but they can't combine. They can't really share energy very easily. So she has to understand she can't use her emotions against the system. And then to go against the Antos, against the rulemakers, and trash her bosses on the air, well, that's what got her canned. But she was quitting the jobs anyway. These jobs had no future. So why was she mad? Cut off your nose, spite your face, maybe. But that 13 minutes was her audition to be a personality, was her digital business card to get her noticed. She exposed something that's hardly ever gotten out of the you know, the coffers of the radio world, of how unfair it is. Look what they did this summer at FAN. People bust their balls to get, you know, degrees in communications to get jobs at the Fan. They lined up at the mall and picked somebody out of line to have a job. They're on the Fan this weekend. They're doing radio shifts that nobody wants to do for dirt money. So the whole thing is a joke. The whole thing of aspiring to be the next Francesa or whatever is a joke. There's only one. He's it. That's it. Done. Everybody else gets to suck curbs. You're not going to get it. They thought that was going to happen over at the satellite, but the economy tanked. And satellite radio basically, I guess they re-signed Howard, so their stock is saved. But for the most part, nobody hears it. It's a niche market. And that's what's happened to all media, all communication, all education, all healthcare. It's all become custom-designed, you know, custard for you and for you and for you, because we have the technology now to personalize just about everything. So you can't personalize everything and then make it all mass media anymore. It's all micromedia now. So there are no big jobs anymore. There's a lot of little small ones. And that's what's happened with all these things. That's why I was trying to advise Mia at the time. I said, Mia, you got to take play to your strengths. Don't play right into their hands and want to be one of them. Because what's that going to get you? It's going to get you a quick exit. That's what it's going to get you. But if she now she's doing play-by-play, that's fine. She can last for a long time doing that. Because if she has a voice that she, and she can follow the game and she's personable and she identifies with the team, she can handle that. But it's not her true strength. According to her, her true strength is much more doing things that are not formatted, that are free-form, that are more spontaneous. Well, you're not going to be on mainstream media doing that. They don't want loose cannons there. They want people that can hit their mark. That's why they're dying. That's why when stuff happens, like where you get out of that linear algorithm that we've been in and you get back into the way the real world works, which is cyclical and nonlinear, non-local, and you know, like being thrown in the middle of the ocean as opposed to swimming in a pool, the dynamics are different. Mainstream media can't adapt to that. That's why it's fragmenting by the hour, melting down. Look at the way they handle any scandal now. What do? They go to Twitter. They go to Facebook right on the air. They know they can't compete with it. Incarcerated Bob has become a reliable source for baseball news. He's faster than Heyman. He's faster than Buster Only. Those guys have to go through corporate channels. And that really gets back to what I was saying at the beginning. What we're supposed to be doing here on Earth, as far as semantics is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, our teleology, our raison d'etre, has nothing to do with having the most toys or all the other crap, all the other local stuff we compete for. It's about becoming a clear and coherent channel for the cosmos to create what? Coherent memory. That's it. So if we get stuck, you know, with a bunch of, you know, the bad tape heads and we're clogged up with all this gossip and all this stuff that's noise, basically, we can't share stuff very well. And what happens, it affects us epigenetically. Our next generational line comes out a little wonkier. And it also affects us longevity-wise and our vitality because we're stuck with that noise. I say it right on my website, right all the time, right there, big bold letters. You are your noise. And you have to induce order out of that noise. You have to find the signal that's in that noise. And if you listen to the first version of the show, good luck. I was in there talking. There was a whole bunch of noise in the way. Truckers and all kinds of grandmas on Skype. And it got jumped right on my show. So don't think that these technological tools are, you know, sort of like utensils, like a fork and a spoon. They're alive, man. They got energy flowing through them all the time. We've given them a lot of power. And if you let them, they will literally take over everything around you. I had a week, again, Mercury retrograde. I had a week, thank God, it hasn't gotten in my car yet. But just about everything I own, from the DVD player to my HRV technology in the other room, we just got a new space heater in here, just about everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. I still got a printer I got to replace. You know, these technological things wear out, not so much because of their mechanical flaws, but because they're not able to handle our energy, our incoherence, our noise. Do you ever, you know, notice how a plant acts around you, you know, or a pet? They pick up that vibration. If that vibration's not, you know, coherently able to kind of be distributed around, it starts to distort things, like really close to an airport, you know, it starts to affect us. And when you're constantly sticking your head, you know, into the, you know, the TMZ world, where it's rumor and gossip and innuendo and half-truth and all that stuff, you live in that. You don't trust anything anymore. Nothing matters. You become a little nihilistic. You live in that split attention, that's what's called ditension. And you can't co-tend. You can't pay attention to two things at once. You can't have a self-surroundings relationship or a rhythm because you're constantly in bumper-to-bumper traffic, wondering about who's saying what about what. That's why all these reality TV shows are just an extension of that. So all media is an extension of that now. Newspapers are dying because they can't publish certain things because they have to go through their structural channels, like the truth. And the thing is, so what happens is you get a lot of shades of things. But that doesn't stop anything online. You could put out something that's, you know, there's a whole paper called The Onion that publishes nothing but fake news. People go to watch The Daily Show, Jon Stewart, to get their real news from a prop, from a comedian. he has a big rally this year, right? What's it about? The rally in Washington. What was the rally about? Sanity. Hello. From the comedian. Tremendous. That's how absurd it's gotten. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's why if you don't see that coming, then you don't see the bigger fish. Because while they're confusing you, while they're leading you down into this self-help, you know, Oprah world, and everybody's got a trauma and a drama and a karma to channel out, and everybody's busy mired down in their own BS and defending their worldview and their religion and you know, and what should happen on Thursday and all that other stuff, the bigger fish are doing evil, evil things, manipulating the culture. Right now, we saw some of this happen when WikiLeaks came out, and we talked about it. You know, and of course, embedded in that, embedded in all these things, are the other secondary domains that are chiming in with different points of view on the same event. So Assange gets arrested, and it's, you know, some people are talking about, hey, the government's overreacting, and we shouldn't be doing this to guys. Is it free press? Is it this? Is it that? Is it espionage? All those things that keep chiming in around it, like an echo chamber, is really speaking to the fragmentation of both the media and the public, because those worldviews speak for you, not to you. You just line up with it, and then once you line up with one, they'll continue to feed you that point of view, whether you're on Fox, whether you're on MSNBC, whatever it is that your ideology is going to crave, because once you get exposed to it and you likey-likey, they feed you more than you crazy-crazy, right? Now, I'm a sports addict. I can admit it. I talk sports 24 hours a day. I have an opinion about it. Why? I internalized it. Right now, I'm wearing Mr. Met around my chest. I got, you know, paraphernalia from all my teams all around me. Why? Because that's me over there. Right? Something happens to the Mets, I feel it. Something happens to the Giants, it takes me 24 hours to move. Rangers are losing right now, I'm furious. I'd like to throw this phone at the television, but I can't. So it's like you're connected to these things, and that they're artificial. The cosmos could care less. It's impersonal to it, right? I always find it funny, like, I have clients that don't care about, you know, certain things, football, whatever, and I'm always fascinated. I had a chat this afternoon with a reporter out in Montana, you know, talking about the Boise State game last night. And, you know, she's a Montana State fan, so they don't really like Boise State much. And I asked her, did she know about, you know, she's a news reporter on a mainstream station out there in Montana. So I asked her, I said, you know, what do you guys think of the Rex Ryan thing? She didn't even make the news out there. Now, I'm thinking everybody but four people in China knew about Rex Ryan's feet by sundown. No, didn't even get to Montana. You wouldn't know that in New York. You wouldn't know that every 5 feet someone's make, there's a foot joke. There's a, it's like, so these things are like a topographical map. You know, those contour maps with the circles, there's a terrain to this stuff. And if you understand semantics, and you understand the four domains, you understand the rhythm to them, every one of them has a signature. Every one of them has a source of coherence. The philo's relationship. The ontos, it's all about their ideas, ideology, right? Eco's emotion. Exo's, it's logic. And those are the things that drive our behavior. Those are the things that set us up to fail or set us up to succeed. If you're able to ride that wave and surf on it, then Somageddon comes along with the moon and all that stuff, and you can expect and reappraise, and you can actually start to realize, hey, I don't have a short fuse today because I'm mad at somebody. I have a short fuse today because I don't have a capacity to get mad because all these things are going on around me. It's just you can't go 90 miles an hour down the highway when it's bumper traffic, right? So you learn to be sort of at that risk-reward junction all the time, at that, as they call it, the edge of chaos, you know, where the complexity is. And the wider you go, and the more general you go, the more difficult it is to adapt. You have to focus and move through. And if you don't, you're always dragging a little residual tension. Now, that happens this time of the year because the seasons overlap, so you have loss in the future, the last wave of the fall, meeting fear of the past, from the past tense, coming out of the winter, which gives us vulnerability, right? You have vulnerability meaning pessimism. That's what shows up every Christmas. And what happens between Christmas and New Year's? A lot of suicide. People can't cope because the vulnerability comes out of the exo-domain, and vulnerability is the primary feeling that a baby has. So here's an exo, a logical person, feeling vulnerable. They don't like to feel that fleshy stuff. That's what the phylos feel. So they hate themselves, and they react to it, and they get cold to their vulnerability, right? And then you have the ecos coming through feeling lost in the future, right? So you have an emotionally upset teenager meeting a disgruntled, feeble old man. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be very good. But if you understand that's coming, then you can adopt different strategies. You can employ different behaviors. You can use the season to reflect and go internal. Take it easy, man. Fred Frankel, heading home. Going to Chinese food. Merry Christmas, Fred. Anyway, all those themes are there. Narratives running parallel to your behavior. And you can tap into them. You can figure out which one of these signatures, which one of these strategies is going to give me the clearest way to both view and review these events. And by having those four perspectives dynamically moving through in your mind's eye, your body will respond. Your body will reflect it because your body won't feel any more tension. The better the image, the better the actor, right? So you think of all these people presenting a false image, that Rockbridge thing I was talking about before, this is what you get. Now, I'm going to give you a real one here to kind of knock you out of the park here. Tried to get him on the show. It's been kind of, you know, men's amends, trying to communicate back and forth. He's out on the West Coast. And we had him on the show back in January, Sacromaniac. And what the heck is this now? Oh, his Christmas wish. What is this? Merry Christmas. All right, we'll do that first. All right, it's Sacromaniac. This is NSM Doc from the Watchman.fm. Hopefully I'll be on his show. He's over on the Watchman.fm. He's on from 6 to 8 West Coast time. Since my show will not be appearing at 9 p.m. anymore in January due to the Blog Talk Radio changes, I'll get into that towards the end of the show. But here's, I'll play two clips of Doc. Here's his Christmas message first. Let's see what he has to say for himself for Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You're so pretty.
Hey, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. All right, folks, we wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. And, of course, I got Merry Christmas from little Diana in there.
Merry Christmas.
Hope that your holidays are blessed, and I hope that you spend a lot of time with family, and that you just be blessed through this new year. I would urge you to enjoy the holidays, and, of course, it's her second birthday as well. So, and, of course, I know my wife wants to tell you all Merry Christmas, too.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And remember that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus here. And although, yeah, there's probably evidence Jesus was born in the spring, but the idea is that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and of course, that's what we're doing. So Merry Christmas to all of you.
No, Merry Christmas.
Say Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho,
see you on the next round. I hope you enjoy your Christmas.
So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You're so pretty.
Hey, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right, take that very philo of Doc. He's an onto his all get out. And it's goofy. It really is goofy to hear him talking that way because I'm going to play a clip for you that wasn't so upbeat. That I played in the last two versions of this thing, that talk about war and what's coming down the pike, what he sees happening. Let's see if I have it here. Here we go. Here's a little clip of Doc doing his show. Check this out.
Watchmen.fm. Of course, you know I moved to a new show time. That would be 6 to 8 Pacific. And, of course, that's 9 to 11 Eastern. Tonight, I got a special guest. I know you guys probably know Alfonso from Macho Sauce Productions. And he's going to be on with me the first hour tonight, and that's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. So I hope you guys can join me for that. And, of course, Friday, Adrian Salbucci comes back. And Monday, G. Edward Griffin. So, got a bunch of big guests lined up for you. Hope you can join me, especially in light of what's going on. Now, there's been all kinds of rumors, right? There's rumors that maybe the Chinese caused a malfunction with the Raptor, and maybe the Chinese caused some problem with the Canadian jet. I've looked at those facts. I haven't made up my mind yet. I've looked at the stories, and I need more evidence before I can validate that. But what I can validate is that we're in a currency war with them. We're in a trade embargo with them. And if you remember the video I put out a month ago, that talked about kicking the chessboard. It was called False Flag Fiction or History Repeating, You Decide. And in it talks about involving China in several conflicts to weaken them and then pitting them against India. Now, the original Korean conflict was fought between who? Some folks like to say it was North and South Korea, but that's not the truth. We were. America was. And who did we fight? What was the reason the armistice had to be signed? It was not because it was a stalemate. It was because our forces ran into a million Chinese troops. And it took everything they could do to get out of there. And we battled them on a couple occasions after that. And sure, if we were willing to commit everything to another world war at that time, we would have won that war. But instead, what happened was the demilitarized zone was set up and the armistice was signed, which was not ever a ceasefire. There's been no peace treaty there. And North Korea has said that it was at war with South Korea this entire time. Now let's look at a little bit of history, right? Okay, a lot of you think that the Iraq war was fought over oil. And every one of you that think that, go over there and beat your head against the wall, because that is not what it was fought over. What happened in Iraq was that Russia had armed Iraq with its latest weaponry. And we saw that as an opportunity to go over and prove to Russia that we could defeat them. Get it? And we went over there and slaughtered the Iraqi army with virtually zero casualties. As a percentage-wise, it was less than 1%. Less than 1% collateral damage did we get during that war. And Russia collapsed very soon afterwards because if they couldn't compete with their, at that time it was almost 8-to-1 ratio in equipment. If 8-to-1 was not good enough to win, then and their economy could not afford to build any more to up the ante, and they couldn't improve the technology because they've never been able, technology-wise, on a pure technological standpoint, compete. On an engineering standpoint, of course they could compete, but they didn't have the complex manufacturing to create all the things their engineers could come up with. So by no means am putting down their intellectual abilities. They were geniuses, as you can see by the Su-35, purely mechanical, but wow, what a fighter, huh? Now the Raptor, of course, is invisible to radar, so maybe it loses a few points on maneuverability, but it gains everything on invisibility and can wipe out an entire squadron of Su-35s by itself. Okay, so let's stick to the facts here, folks. If the Koreas go to war, and there's been quite a bit of evidence, and I can't argue with anybody that says that that was a Chinese missile launch off of our coast. I can and say that we used to do that during the Cold War when the bear bombers buzzed our carriers. Am I right? Well, in this instance, I'm leaning towards the folks that think it was a Chinese cruise missile as a shot across our bow. To all of you that told me that the Chinese were not a threat and we were looking the wrong way, yeah, where are you now, man? Hmm? Chinese aren't a threat, huh? Who do you think armed North Korea? Who do you think gave them their capabilities to come up with a nuclear weapon? Who do you think did that? It was China. You see, China fancies itself as the leaders of the world, is the new leader of the world. And the crazy part is the money powers helped build them, and they fancy them as the leaders of the new world, too. Why? Because they rule with an iron fist. So what do we have going on here? See, when these elitists got together, there were some that did not think that America was not going to lead, or there were some that did think America was going to lead the new world order. They never realized that the rug was going to be pulled out from under America. And now these folks are waking up to the fact that, hey, guess what? We're stuck. We've wrecked the economies. And I got some graphs in here to show you just exactly what's going on with the dollar. As a matter of fact, folks, did you mark yesterday on the calendar? Because yesterday became the day that the Federal Reserve became the single greatest holder of American debt. In other words, our money is dying. Our money's dying, folks. Our money is dying. And what have they done every time that the economy was about to collapse, it was about to go under? Well, it's simple. What did they do? Our last depression, we got out of it by having a world war. And so why wouldn't they do the same thing again? Especially if those folks that invested in this world order and are getting the rug pulled out from under him. All the people in the EU, the Brits, that invested all this money in creating this thing that's about to create a world order with China as its leader. You think they want that? They want it themselves on top, and it's not going to work out that way. And so now, this train wreck that they've began is heading towards the only thing they can think of to do so that they can get their hands on the rest of the world's wealth. The big new Brzezinski wrote it down in the grand chessboard. 3/4 of the world's viable resources that are left are in Eurasia. The only way to get it is to weaken every nation there. That's China, Russia, India, so that we can go in and mop up and take it. That's the idea, and we, I mean them, not us. They're going to use us as their cannon fodder and resources to get there. I just don't know what to tell you folks, right? I hope, because if this escalates, folks, that warning shot, I'm pretty sure that it was, will turn into the real thing. And if it does, you better have had your stuff ready. You better have listened to those folks that have said, oh, you don't have to worry about China. They're not going to do it like that. Yeah, I know, you thought they were going to use the military, right? They're outnumbered 15-1 just by militia. Or they were just going to give executive orders. It's not going to work like that, folks, okay? It's not going to work like that. It never has. They've got a couple of solutions, and when they reach a point that they can't get past, they kick the chessboard, folks. That's what they do. And they start massive wars, because it accomplishes everything they want. A suffering so great that you'll accept their solution. Population reduction on a grand scale. A crisis that must be fixed. And on and on and on. It fits all the criteria of what they've needed. And what have they done in the last two world wars? League of Nations. The war to end all wars. That's what they called World War I and created the League of Nations to create a world government so that it didn't happen. World War II. Far more crushing than World War I. And what did they do? They created the United Nations to create a world government so that it would never happen again. And guess what? That failed. So what does the United Nations say in the sovereignty? Your sovereignty. A nation's sovereignty is going to be the number one issue in Cancun. Number one issue in Cancun. How to take it from you. The next is the wealth redistribution of the world so that they can quit having wars. They're going to hand it out to all those corrupt leaders because they think those folks are going to all of a sudden hand the money out like they did all the food we sent them when folks were starving. Think about it, folks. Think about it. If everything spills over in the Koreas, it spills over into Japan. It spills into China. And then it spreads everywhere else. I'm NSM Doc. I'll see you tonight. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 Eastern. The link, as always, is right in the box right there. So you can get right to the show. And some of you have been asking me how to listen. So at the top of the page up there is a bunch of icons. The two lightning bolts, the one at either end, one lightning bolt is Shoutcast, and the other is Shoutcast for QuickTime. And then Real Player and Windows Media icons are all up there. One of those will work on your computer. Join me tonight. See you there.
Hey, you see the way he goes from talking about the end of the world to giving you instructions to use Shoutcast? That's what I'm talking about. Violence like that will always get your attention. He's an onto. He's just skewing his beliefs. He's very honest about his beliefs. He's not bullshitting you there. But when you put it on the bookends of a conventional talk show, it becomes safe to listen to. So it's almost like a controlled hysteria. Here's the message, here's the message, here's the message. Like you said, I'm bringing you on a journey. So he's evoking a thought that he's disconnecting from the feelings and actions that would surround that thought. Because if people actually believe that, you know, what he's saying here and listen to him, there would be that same reaction we had to the BP spill. There would be that same reaction we had to cap and trade. There would be that same reaction you saw in a much more raw and sort of incoherent fashion with the Tea Party. People would change those things, right? Hey, the Rangers just scored. Look at that goal. What a play. You gotta see this to believe it, folks. Oh, yeah, that was a Crosby-like move by Stefan. All right, I just got sucked in by the lower world here again with the Rangers tying this game up. So we might have to somercast a little on this before we get off the air. It's 3-3. It's got to be about 8 minutes to go in the game here, I think. What a goal. I mean, even if they don't win, that was a great goal. Yeah, about a little less than that. Looks like about 6.5 to go. So they get a point out of this game. Oh, no. Oh, they almost gave it right back. Typical Rangers. You know, again, we live on that E button, all about entertainment, right? So he's giving you entertainment with information, infotainment, if you will. But we don't act on it. It's self-contained. It's there to make you nod along, listen and know. And maybe some people actually act on what he's saying. I've been doing it for 3.5 years. I know none of you guys have done jack rabbit nothing with the stuff I've given you. Right? You're not taking any less drugs. Right? You're not relying on your immune systems by entraining your motor systems at all. You're not profiling for nothing. You're making me do it. So, I mean, what's the point? What's the point? The coherent memory's there. Right? I got almost 200 shows up in the clouds you can listen to. You can archive them all. Go ahead, they're up there. There's only going to be one more of them, then I'm done. I don't know what I'm doing in January with this stuff. I really don't. I wish I did, but I don't know. Can't do 90 minutes on the air here once a week. I don't have time to do 30 minutes every day. Maybe I will. I don't know. Maybe I will. I'll just play it, you know, not live. Who needs you guys? You don't call in anyway. I'll just put it up here as a big old podcast. Be a plodcast with an L. Half-hour podcast. So, like I said, when you see how Doc communicates his message, he's got a very active audience that's very galvanized, and there's a singularity of purpose. Because, again, it's a niche market. It's a micro media. It's not a macro media. It's not even a multimedia. And he does a lot of cool stuff. He's got a good YouTube channel. He's got this. He's He's very prolific, right? Because he has one focus every day, which is to wake people up, to get them to understand what goes on behind the scenes. While we're busy being distracted by the culture, the people that are invested in distracting us are busy doing other things. And we've seen behind the curtain, through the likes of WikiLeaks, through the likes of Rushkoff's books, you know, that talk about program or be programmed, his new book. We've seen some of the things that happen behind the curtain, you know, and we sort of know better now. We know better about the food supply. We know better about the water supply. We know better about the fluoridation of the water and the vaccine industry, but we don't change. We still do the same behaviors, just like a child that's 9, 10, or 11 years old and knows about Santa and the Easter Bunny but still wants their chocolate in the spring and still wants their presents at Christmas time. Is there a harm in that? After the innocence is gone, after you know better, to still not make the shift. It's very difficult to do it on a cross-cultural level, you know, sweeping along. But personally, we could start acknowledging some of this stuff, right? We could start balancing the scales a little bit. We don't have to go completely whole hog. That's why the swine flu didn't work. The swine fear, I mean, didn't work. H1N1 couldn't scare anybody. Social media was quicker. Mainstream media was slow and plodding along and couldn't scare everybody, right? They can't get you to fear it, then they can't get you to fuel it. And we didn't fear the flu. We didn't get the swine fear. So we didn't buy the vaccine. Then things come out. Tamiflu's bogus. There's, you know, a bunch of useless vials down in Atlanta, a couple of million of them, whatever they were. I mean, it's bizarre. Stuff keeps coming out about a lot of things that pertain to healthcare and pertain to our well-being, that pertain to our security. They call it security theater, the experts, the stuff that goes on at the airports. It's going to be delaying everybody's travel in the next 3 days. Complete and total theater. If a terrorist right now wants to go into a major airport and cause mayhem, and I don't mean the mayhem that Allstate causes, wants to cause some mayhem, where are they going to go? Are they going to go to the security gate? Are they going to try and get on a plane where everybody's waiting for them? No. Why wouldn't they go to the mini mall where all the infidels are shopping? Just a bunch of security guards there. No gates there because you want people to buy stuff. Can't have them going through security to go in and buy stuff. But if you want to get on a plane, we'll put you through hell. And we'll put you through a body scanner that's, you know, some reports have it, sterilizing us, causing all kinds of mutations later on. You could buy into the conspiracy behind that. I would. Do you trust the government? Do you trust this government? Or any government? Especially this one. With all the corruption that you've seen, could you possibly still deny? Could you possibly still look at it as something that's worthy of what the Constitution says it is? They've been urinating on the Constitution for 10 years now. Patriot Act. You think Obama's about change? He rearranged the chairs. Same music. It's the same damn music. He perpetuated almost every one of Bush's policies. I read a letter from Ralph Nader on the air a couple weeks ago. He's perpetuated almost every one of Bush's policies. War, the Guantanamo Bay still open. This don't ask, don't tell thing is another phony act. It'll be implemented over months or years. We're still in Iraq. We're still in Afghanistan. Come on. Wake the hell up. It's over. That part of our innocence is over. We know they're corrupt. We just don't care. We know education is ineffective. We just don't care. We know health care is never going to change. We don't care. The only time we react is when it affects us personally or affects people in our lives that we value. And then it's too late because you're powerless at that point. You're insignificant at that point. That's what Doc's trying to tell you. You know, if you understand the message that's going on a biological level, and you see how these ideas represent those messages, facsimiles of them, little pieces of them, puzzle pieces of them, you start putting together the big picture. You just look at the seasonal cycles here for a minute, because we're going to wrap it up here. Rangers are coming down the stretch. Let's see if we can get a goal here. 5 minutes to go, I can't even see. When you look at the seasonal cycle, right now we're in that valley, right? Now, what's the cue for the winter? Introspection, reflection, internal, slow, accurate, deliberate, restructuring, repair, right? Go to the core. Go to your core, right? Reflect. Figure out what you can let go and lighten up with and walk better into the future with, right? That's what the winter's cue is. What do we do the next 10 days? Anything but. We spend the entire time at our extremes. We're interacting. We're basically getting all our yayas out from the last part of the fall. And then everybody's sick the first part of January because we don't follow those cues. Take a moment. Take a couple of heartbeats. Take a couple of red lights and reflect. Where are you going? What is your intent? How are you creating coherent memory? Would anybody copy what you did and extend it to the next level, whether it's in this lifetime or 10 lifetimes from now? What are you doing that's shareable? What are you doing that's repeatable? What are you doing that's reproducible? What are you doing that can be nuanced, that can be innovated with? What are you creating? Or are you just preserving? Are you a life creator, a life preserver, or a life destroyer? Put it that way. I often talk about the three phases of my work, which is first you have to adopt one of these strategies, one of these perspectives that the domains gives you. Adopt the narrative. Be an exo for an hour. Think like, you know, Clint Eastwood. You know? Think like, Flacco from the Ravens. Okay? Think about them. If you think about, what's the guy, he's in the Fighter movie. God, he was Batman. Keep seeing his face. Anyway. Christian Bale. Yeah, think like him. Right? When you think like an exo, you're WYSIWYG. You're objective. You're logical. You're almost to the point where you're like a cyborg in a way, because an exo really doesn't care about his personal benefit. He cares more about utopia. He cares more about, you know, like we talked about before, the Olympics, that immortality, that perfection, that pristineness, that timelessness of things. So if you adopt that strategy, all of a sudden you become very logical in your behavior, very crisp, very squared off in the way you do things. Your attention to detail is intricate because you're creating something that's going to last forever, not for 5 minutes. Right? An eco, more impulsive, more about the now, more about the moment, more about having fun, more about basically making sure things are enjoyable, things are empathic, things are egalitarian, things are fair, and things are peaceful. So there's no conflict with the eco because everything is in the surroundings. There's no self there. There's a selflessness, which they suffer with, and they feel persecuted by. So you shift perspectives from that, from the emotional one that's much more volatile to the logical one that's much more stable. All of a sudden, the same event looks different. And how do you do that? Well, there's a variety of ways. I offered you my approach on summerspace.org. I'd be happy to guide you through it again. Because to me, if I can do that for you guys, if I can get that across, there's no pill for these things. There's no quick fix for these things. There's only behavior. Is only adaptation. So that first thing, adopt, and then adjust to your own personal context, and then adapt to the conditions. So if you adopt the strategy, then adjust to fit your personal context, and then adjust to the changes in the conditions, you will then ride that wave. And the seasonal ones are right there for you to ride. They're right there for you to ride. They're perfect. So you can go to the site and click on the winter coherence calendar. It brings you to another link. That brings you to the winter wisdom that will take you through the whole cycle. You got 90 days to find those signatures, find those pauses, find those valleys, find those dead spaces that force you to go away from the surface. Now, the funny part is exos have no access to their interior. They don't perceive their interior. They go on the surface. They go on what's on the surface because their core is already fed. Where an onto functions only from their core and doesn't see the other. Because they go on their beliefs, they go on their convictions, they go on what they're certain about all the time, whether it's right or wrong. So they need the other two domains, the philo and the eco domains, to fill in the blanks, to fill in relationships, to fill in emotions, to fill in subtext and all the things that color our world, all the things that make it worth living. Otherwise, all you'd have, you know, is belief systems and logic butting up against each other. And I already did a lot of stuff about BS. You got to get beyond the BS. You got to get beyond yourself and beyond your surroundings and start thinking about things in terms of their dynamics. Think about things in terms of what they mean, not just for you, but for everybody else. And that's really the expanded meaning of what I'm trying to get across here on Summertime. And I've been doing it for 3.5 years. Hopefully something of what I said has hit your beach, made you think twice about it. I don't know. Next week we're going to look back at the second half of 2010. hopefully I'll cross paths with Doc and maybe get him on live for a couple of minutes, or I'll at least know when I'm going to be on his show. And we'll see if we can get that done. Because, you know, me and Doc have a lot in common in the sense that we're both kind of, you know, outliers and fringe players. And he's in psychology. I'm here in the somatic world. And trying to understand the human condition from these perspectives, these seats in the movie theater, you're not going into diagnosis. You're not going into, oh, this is pathology, this is wrong. You're going into what's coherent, what's clear, what's shareable, what isn't, what's stickable. And being able to use your own interests, your own rhythms. Like, I'm into the sports world. I'm watching the Ranger game here. I've got a minute and a half to go. See if we get a point out of this game. And then I'll do my goodbyes. And we'll wish you a very coherent Christmas. But for the most part, that's the rhythm I'm in. I'm in a sports world rhythm, even though I'm a behavioral consultant, even though I'm taking care of clients, even though I'm doing emails, even though I'm giving people, you know, advice about their lifestyle, whatever it is I'm doing, I'm constantly got an ear out for that. That's my parents' identification. That's me. That's my identity. That's me in the corner. That's me over there. You know, that's the way it works. If you understand that bias that you have, that internal bias and that external bias that you have, then it becomes much easier for you to figure out what you're going to do next, right? Because you can see it coming. You could see the rhythms of it coming. You could plan it even. And we've had, you know, Paul Garcia on the show three or four times about the Merlin Project. It gives you a strategy to do it. You just get a calendar out using your own birthday. You know when your lucky days are going to be and when they're not going to be. It's great. The technology's there. It's just not very fancy. It's not very fancy. It's not very pizzazzed up. But it will dazzle you with the insights it gives you. You know, and that's what we're trying to do. Anyway, Rangers are winding it down here. Looks like we're going to make it to overtime.
And the Rangers and Lightning go to overtime. Each team with a point of the game.
All right, so the Rangers got a point out of this. Great goal by Stephon. So I'm going to go duck out of here and watch the OT, and you guys are going to go do what you guys do. But I will wish you first, before I do that, I will wish you first a... very Merry Christmas, and a kind of a sacred time for yourself over the weekend. You know, I'm going to spend it basically watching a lot of Knick basketball and movies and the Giants on Sunday and doing my thing and really reflecting on what I've done here with Soma Time. I'm pretty proud of it. It's been a dopey show full of a lot of, you know, fodder. But it's been a place to vent. It's been a place to really deposit my ideas that I can reflect on with or without you. I'd love it if you guys actually listened and shared it, but I can't count on you to do that. You haven't proven to be something I can rely on. You're just something out there I don't know yet. I don't know how to access yet. I don't know how to interest you yet. I don't know how to be provocative enough yet. Even though I'm talking about some pretty volatile topics every week, it seems like, you know, maybe at the end of the week, end of the day, you don't care. You don't want to hear it anymore. But that's what I've been here doing, you know. I'll keep trying. So, I was going to play this Dave Matthews song. And where are you going? But I'm feeling like no. I'm feeling like I want to do a little Bruce here. Play this out. You know, you could play Where Are You Going and reflect on that on your own time. I want to play that new song I heard before. It just has a little more upbeat, Christmassy kind of feel to it. So let's see. I think it's called Not Enough. What just happened? We'll go to the secret. Let's go to the promise, not the secret. Let's do it this way and find the actual album. The Rangers win in overtime while I'm doing this, I'll let you know. Like you care. I thought it was called Not Enough, let's see. The Promise album. Ah, boy. Rangers at home. They are just a big ball of wax. So that Derek Stephon's going to be a good player, though. I mean, man, oh man, what a goal. It looked like Crosby. Stick handling with the dexterity of a lizard. All right, let's see. Spirit is the Promise. Okay. I'll have the song here in a second. Because I've heard it a couple times. It's very old school Bruce. And so I'm looking in. Where are you? Ain't Good Enough for You? Is that it? That must be it. I guess so. Back to YouTube. Go here. So I hope, like I said, I hope you guys do something over the weekend that allows you to kind of pause and see the forest for the trees. And all this stuff's just for entertainment. And entertainment is supposed to entrain you, to lead you to something powerful, lead you to something useful, lead you to something shareable. Okay. So here's a little Springsteen, a little new Springsteen from that album, The Promise, which brings up a lot of the stuff from Darkest on the Edge of Town. So for everybody here on this side of the world, on this side of summertime, Dr. Mark saying thank you very much for this time and your space. Be yourself and be well. And as always, travel light through the dark. Kind of a Christmassy song, right? I'll be singing along with you here. Here you go. That little snappy finger going. Catch you next Wednesday night when I'm 4 to 6 years young, baby. Big up to each other because no one else cares. Travel light. Travel on.